Discover a career that matters at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Be part of an innovative team delivering world-class healthcare and benefits to America's veterans. Enjoy robust benefits, work-life balance, and career development opportunities. Join a diverse and inclusive community that values your unique background and skills, a community where nearly one in three of your colleagues are veterans themselves. Apply now at vacareers.va.gov.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thorntons.
All right, it's hour number three here on a Monday morning. You are in the Red Zone, and we are fueled by Thorntons. Thanks for hanging out with us. 2 hours in, one more to go. A lot to react to from the weekend. And before we do that and dive back in, once again, reminder, Thorntons, right now, if you become a Refreshing Rewards member, you're going to get a free breakfast sandwich and a free drink. And of course, all the other great things that come with being a member of the Refreshing Rewards program, including save money when you get gas. They've got all kinds of different sweepstakes that they do periodically. So become a member if you haven't already. I think you'll be happy that you did. All right, we're going to try to empty out this text line as we move forward. 502-653-0790 is the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. Members get more at LNNFCU. You can learn more and open an account today at LNFCU.com. All right, so a lot of reaction to not only Louisville football as they get set for these final two games of the season as their opponents that they've got left both look more beatable than they did even a week ago. Kentucky losing to Vanderbilt in embarrassing fashion. NC State losing at home to Boston College. Louisville's now favored by 4.5 over NC State this Saturday. So it feels like the program's in a pretty good spot, especially knowing that they came off a loss. I don't think overall you feel that much different about this team after their loss to Clemson. At least I don't. Certainly they could have done things better, but Clemson's just a better program. That's just, and I think we all knew that going in. You had reason to be confident that Louisville could come out and maybe find themselves in a position to pull off the upset, but Clemson still has some dudes that you don't have. I mean, Shipley was making plays out there because he's one of the best players in the country. And it is a bummer to know that if you would have taken care of business against a bad Boston College team and maybe found a way to win a close game rather than finding a way to lose a close game against Florida State, that you could be sitting here with an 8-2 record going into these last two games. And that's not far-fetched at all. You don't want to dwell on it because, of course, you know, there's nothing you can do about it now. And I do think they've really rallied since the start of this season when things got off to a rough start. But I've seen enough from Scott Satterfield at this point to feel confident in these final two games. Now, again, you got to go out there and get results, right? I think you should, like, saying that you should go beat NC State Saturday, I don't think is unfair. I think we know they can lose if they don't play well, but this defense has been pretty consistent for the last 5-6 weeks. And on offense, the status of Malik Cunningham is certainly going to be a big factor. But I've seen enough from Brock Dolman to where I don't lose a ton of confidence in this team if he's got to come in and be your quarterback. And some could argue that, and some are arguing that maybe had he been given the reins all week last week to prepare as QB1, maybe the result would have been a little different. I don't know if he would have won, but clearly they wanted to go with Malik. They felt like he could go, and in the end, that was, you know, they tried. And I'm surprised at how much it's not as if it's overwhelming, but there are at least a handful of you that have said that with Malik's status being what it was, they should have never even thrown him out there. And I hear you, but again, to go back to what I said at the beginning of the show, I think you have to understand, like, Malik Cunningham is Scott Satterfield's guy, and Satterfield believes that Malik gives them the best chance to win, and maybe they didn't realize he was going to be that uncomfortable out there. And if you're Malik, I mean, you've yet to have, and we talked about this all day on Friday. Malik has had a good run here, no doubt, but the wins aren't necessarily there as much as he'd like. I mean, he's going to end up being pretty high in the record books. We know all that. But what's been his moment? And Clemson could have been his moment. So I don't think there was a chance at all he was going to say, no, I don't want to play. I mean, he was going to try to give it a go, and he did. Now, moving forward, I think if you're Scott Satterfield, you got to look at what you saw on Saturday. And unless he's made some substantial improvements to his health, then I think you got to say, look, I get it, man. Nobody's going to call you a quitter, but you're hurt. you cannot be yourself, and we need a quarterback that's healthy that can give us a chance to win. And it wasn't as if Malik did anything specifically out there that you felt like, oh man, he's killing you. But he just wasn't himself. He didn't look comfortable at all. And if that's the way it's going to play out this week, then I think you got to go with Brock Doman. I give Brock a lot of credit, man. I don't know, you know, how talented he is overall. He's been at four schools in 5 years. Louisville was kind of a last-minute situation for him because they just needed some depth at quarterback. But, man, he's a gamer. He makes mistakes. There's no doubt about it. But he's got a lot of confidence. You can tell he does not let the previous play impact the next one. And he's had a couple of throws this year when we've seen him against Virginia. We've seen him against even Clemson the other night. I mean, he's thrown some really good balls that you just oftentimes don't see Malik throw, at least consistently. In fact, we've got some support from one Brock Doman coming in on the text line. This is Nick. I think Brock played well. He made some throws that, frankly, Malik hasn't made all year. Not sure if it matters if Malik is healthy the rest of the way. See, that's from Dan. And Dan, I hear you because I, like a lot of you, I'm very intrigued to see what this offense could do if Brock's the guy and they sort of game plan around that. But I still think Malik gives you the best chance to win just based off of his talent level and his ability to take off and run at times. But he clearly didn't look comfortable taking off and running because you could just tell he did not want that hand to get hit. So, yeah, as of now, and again, we'll hear from Scott Satterfield tomorrow. Not sure what he'll end up telling us. Probably not much of anything when it comes to the injuries because that's just how he handles injuries. But if it's me, and again, I'm not the one making millions of dollars to make these decisions, but I would trust Brock. I really would. And that's not a knock on Malik. That's just the fact that he's hurt. And if you end up having to go with, like, if the more reps that Brock gets and the more chances he gets to sort of prepare as QB1, the better off he'll be. Because, again, keep in mind, if Malik's not getting any better, you may have to go to Brock against Kentucky. And I for one, would like to see him have a little more repetition at that spot because, of course, that's the game everybody's thinking about. Now, with Kentucky losing to Vandy, I mean, it's another sign that Louisville fans, even though a lot of us, well, I shouldn't speak for anybody but myself, but personally, I'm going into this game expecting the worst and hoping for the best because I don't want to get my hopes up once again. But it's hard not to get your hopes up when you look at the way Louisville's played, you look at where their strengths are, and you look at Kentucky, where they just lost to Vandy. Their offensive line is really, really bad. Every team they've played this year, it seems like, has been able to get after the quarterback. And Louisville appears to be one of the better teams in the country getting after the quarterback. If MAC teams can get after Will Levis, why can't Louisville, right? So even if you didn't want to have expectations in this game, and again, just expect the worst, hope for the best, it's going to be hard because, I mean, Kentucky's going to get hammered by Georgia. And to be fair to Kentucky, everybody would get hammered by Georgia because that's how good they are. But I'd be a liar if I said I didn't have some sneaky confidence in this matchup in the Governor's Cup. Maybe by the time we get to kickoff, that changes. But you can't ignore what you're seeing. And Louisville appears to be trending in the right direction, even though they lost to Clemson. And Kentucky, I mean, even their fans are now worried about this game, at least the ones I talk to. I'm sure there are plenty of you that will tell me right now you're not worried about Louisville because Louisville plays in the ACC and you're still going to beat up on them because that's what you do. But, I mean, Vandy was really bad, right? I mean, that's probably the low point of the Mark Stoops era. All right. Look, we have talked Louisville basketball today, but it's not obviously been great things because what can you say? We knew it was going to be a work in progress, but I think you can understand that, but also still be frustrated with what we're seeing. Not just the results, not just the losses to teams like Bellarmine and Wright State, but this team just doesn't seem to play that hard. I mean, at least not consistently. They don't seem to have a lot of fire. And I thought energy, enthusiasm, that kind of stuff you can control, I didn't expect that to be an issue with this team because I just assumed that with a new coach, a guy that they're fired up to play for, that these guys would come out and really play like their heads are on fire and give maximum effort and look locked in. And that just looks to be the furthest thing from what's happening. And I'm not sure how much we really need to get into what happened at the end of the Wright State game, but it was a meltdown. I mean, you really had no business losing that game the way you did. But sure enough, just really terrible awareness, so terrible basketball IQ. I mean, to not take a foul there when you had one or two to give. I mean, we'll let you guys hear what Kenny Payne had to say after that because he kind of doubled down and said in his mind he doesn't want to be a team that has to foul. He wants to be able to get a stop. Well, I mean, that's just choosing to be stubborn, I think. But coming out of a timeout, L. Ellis getting, I guess, anticipating a foul, then turns it over. They get the ball. And look, I could be wrong, but it seemed like all of us felt like as soon as that player for Wright State got, I knew he was going to make that shot. I mean, he's their best player, and really, he didn't even have a great game. He just made some shots towards the end. Louisville did a pretty good job of containing him, and then in the end, he gets the game winner. And to his credit, it was pretty well defended. It was contested, but you should have never been in that situation. And to say that Kenny Payne has never been a head coach, I don't bring that up to say that that means he should not have been hired for the job, although some people will say that. But you can tell he's never been a head coach. Like, you can see he's learning on the fly here. And that's something you probably wouldn't expect when you're Louisville, to have a guy that's kind of cutting his teeth and learning how to do this. But that's where we are. It's not to say he won't eventually figure it out and this program won't get back to where you want it to be. But right now, as we speak, I mean, there's not a whole lot of good you can find. I think they're going to get better. I think they're going to win games. I don't think they're going to go 0-29. But this schedule in these next couple of weeks is brutal. I mean, you've already lost to Bellarmine and Wright State. App State is in town tomorrow. That's a 6 o'clock tip. They can beat you if you don't come out and play better. And then you go to Maui, where you're going to take on teams like Arkansas, Creighton, or Texas Tech, Ohio State, Cincinnati, maybe. Then you come back and play Maryland in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. You've got Miami on December 4th. Then you play Florida State at their place, Western Kentucky at home. I mean, these are all games that every team I just mentioned is substantially better than who you've already lost to. Substantially better. You've got Florida A&M, which happens to be the worst team on your schedule, on December 17th. And if you're still hunting for your first win at that point, I mean, that's a nightmare scenario. And at that point, I guess we'll just have to say, man, this was much more of a work in progress than we anticipated. And look, I'm not saying Kenny Payne was a bad move and that this is not going to work out. I know that's how some of you hear it. But if we can't react to what we're seeing in real time, what can we say about Louisville basketball this year? Should we just not give any analysis and not talk about the team at all? I mean, this text says, you have to keep in mind that this is from Terry, who says, you have to keep in mind, Nick, that Kenny Payne warned us that his players were going through some things they had to work through, not only as players, but as men. He said that they had to get together first before they were able to become a team. Well, I mean, look, whatever. I mean, not to belittle whatever they've got going on. I don't know what it is. But isn't that the coach's job, to get these guys together as a team? Like, what have they been doing since they took over? Like, I don't understand. I mean, the culture was probably not great just because of everything that went on last year, but I'm telling you, there were times where these guys played really hard for Mike Pegues. They did. And I'm not seeing that now, and I don't really know why. You guys tell me maybe that I just, you know, you just don't understand. It's more difficult than you think. Okay, well, Pegues was able to get these guys to at least lock in and play hard for in certain situations. And, you know, Scott, look what Scott Satterfield inherited. Right? When he took over for Bobby, all we heard about was the culture. All we heard about was how toxic it was and how, man, wins are going to be hard to come by. I just got to start loving these guys up. You're not hearing Kenny Payne say those kind of things, but you know what that team came out and did that year under Scott Satterfield? They played like their heads were on fire. They played hard. They were enthusiastic. There was a lot of energy, and you still came up short against teams that you just simply weren't as good as, but they played hard, and I'm not seeing that from these guys, and it's concerning. It's concerning to say the least. Here's Kenny Payne's comments after the loss to Wright State on Saturday.
I know I'm probably sounding like a broken record, but when you see young people's emotions go high and low, and they're supposed to be your leaders, that's hard. I told this team from the day I walked in here, each guy, all I really care about is that you look confident and that you play with energy and you learn to play together. That's all I really care about. I don't care if you miss every shot. I know you're going to make mistakes. Do it with confidence. Don't let your opponent feel like they belong with you. You're Louisville. Do you understand what that means? Well, what's happening is I got guys that don't know what that means, don't understand Louisville, can't get out of their selves way. The game is a roller coaster emotionally for a lot of guys. You can't win that way. You can't win. They scored 42 points in the paint. We have to be a defensive team to win. If we just, we did enough offensively to win that game. Should have won it by 15, but they're a good team. They're a good offensive team. 42 points in the paint. 19 turnovers. You ain't beat nobody. You can't win a game like that.
I don't disagree with anything he said there at all. And maybe I'm being unfair to say that it's his job to sort of get those emotions in check. At the end of the day, the players have to be accountable as well. There's no doubt. But I just, maybe it's more complicated than I realize, but just play hard. You just come out, you just play hard and not be so high and so low. And again, maybe there's more to that than I realize. I know sports, there's a lot of it that's mental that we don't realize, but to see guys just, you know, lackadaisical out there and not having a lot of energy, I mean, if he can't get these guys to play hard, who will? Who can? Like, who's going to? And I think going into this year, the two names you heard more than anybody was L. Ellis and Sidney Curry. And look, L, what do you have, 30 points or something like that? I mean, L did his thing offensively, but even he at times is just looks, I mean, and I have a hard time being critical of L just because he is asked to do so much for this team, so much, and it's not really fair to him. And so far, I mean, I think he's played pretty well at times. I mean, look, he scored 29 points in a loss or 30 points, whatever it was. So, I mean, that's carrying the load offensively, which unfortunately he's going to have to do at times. And then Sidney Curry's the other guy. And I don't know what's going on with Sidney Curry, but he ain't the same dude. I don't know if he's going through some stuff. I don't know. But Sidney is not the same player we saw at times last year. And I know, look, some of it was that he was just out there taking advantage of Louisville, sometimes getting blown out, and he was playing hard and putting up numbers. And maybe, you know, those numbers were a little bit skewed. But still, numbers aside, he played with a motor. He played with energy. And he just looks out. He just looks to be completely lost out there. And I mean, it looks like he's loafing. And that's the exact opposite that I expected. I thought Sidney Curry would be super motivated to play under Kenny Payne and develop and maybe turn his career into a pro one. And it's just been really, I mean, he's just, I mean, there's times where Kenny Payne's just got to take him out of the game because he's that much of a liability. And then I think Jalen Withers, for the most part, has I mean, people forget Jalen Withers was actually a pretty damn good player in his first redshirt freshman season. Last year was a roller coaster for him, but I think he's shown that he can play a little bit of ball for you. And then Mike James, I think he's been a pretty, I mean, he's looked pretty good thus far. So again, I don't think, like, you're not losing to Wright State and Bellarmine because you're low on talent. It's just these guys aren't playing hard enough from start to finish. They're not locking in defensively. And if we can't be critical of the coach for that, then what do we do? Like who's, I mean, the players obviously have to take accountability. Nobody's saying that they don't, but at least he's being honest with us and telling us that, you know, these guys are so up and down emotionally, but I don't, like, how do you fix that? I mean, it's kind of your job, is it not? And I'm not saying it's, we knew it was going to be work in progress, but I also don't think I'm being unfair to say that when you're a first-time head coach and you've inherited a tough situation, you can tell us expectations are down. You can tell us it's going to take some time, but it shouldn't take a lot of time for guys to just play hard, right? Especially under a new coach. This is uncharacteristic. It's one thing to see guys playing lackadaisical with really no energy and not focused whenever they're going through the motions because a coach is on his way out and it's just run its course. This is brand new. You'd think these guys would come out with a ton of energy and enthusiasm. And it's just not what we're seeing, at least not consistently. Now, the fact that he chose not to foul towards the end of that game, I mean, here's his comments on that.
Coach, after the jump ball and they get the ball back, about 8 seconds left, was there any discussion about maybe fouling with fouls to give before they got the shot off?
No. I want us to be a team that should be able to get a stop. I mean, think about the play. What was it? Was it the tip in? Was it the backdoor cut? If we got a foul to prevent those two things, come on, what are we saying? Like, a tip in, that's a rebound. We know we got to box out. A backdoor cut, we talked about it for 3 days. They're going to backdoor cut us. Stay below your man. Don't give, no matter what the driver dribbles at you, backdoor cut, dunk. Where was the rotation? Why were we above our man? I don't know. I mean, we're learning as we go. Jerry asked a great question. When do I think Ella get it? Well, I'll say, when do I think we all get it? When do we become one unit, one heartbeat, fighting to get a W?
So I hear what he says, like you should be able to get a stop there. But if you're competing as a coach and you're trying to win a game, it's not about it's just doing what you're supposed to do to win. And I mean, I didn't like that response. I mean, I know what he means. They should be able to get a stop against Wright State, but just execute from a coach's standpoint and commit a foul to make it harder for the opponent to get a bucket. You got to win. And look, the more I look at the personnel, like I'm not going to tell you this team's the most talented. They clearly have some issues at guard as far as just having a lot of depth and a lot of options. But I mean, Mike James, I think, has looked the part. I mean, Brandon Huntley Hatfield started to show some real polish to his offensive game on Saturday. Hersey Miller came in and didn't stuff the stat sheet, but I thought he gave you some decent minutes to give L. Ellis a break. Kamari Lanz is still struggling to knock down shots, but he's a freshman, and I think he'll eventually get it rolling. So, I mean, again, L finished with 29 points, so you just shouldn't have lost that game, because even if it was closer than most would have expected, you gave up a 6-0 run in the last minute. They made their last three shots. You couldn't make free throws, had that late turnover. It just seemed like you found a way to lose a game. And I think what's so frustrating is that there's going to be a lot of losses on this schedule. That should not have been one. And that's why it was such a, you know, punch to the gut. But yeah, giving up 42 points in the paint to Wright State. Goodness gracious. And here we are knowing that this team was, if there's one potential strength, you would say it's the front court. You'd say it's the ability to go big and prevent a lot of points in the paint. Or maybe you have the advantage with points in the paint, but you didn't. In fact, you did. You had 44, they had 42. But Wright State should never have 42 points in the paint, ever. And I don't know if we're going to see it. Somebody's asked if I think we see a different lineup moving forward. I don't know, but I can tell you this. The double bigs just isn't working. I mean, it's just, there were a couple times where you could tell Sydney and Huntley Hatfield were just in each other's way. And I just, if you're going to play big, go big, but they don't have enough spacing out there to truly take advantage of you know, a Twin Tower type lineup. So look, for me, I would go with L. Ellis, Mike James, Kamari Lanz, Jalen Withers, and Huntley Hatfield. That's the five-man rotation that I would go with that I think gives you the best chance to win. That's what I would go with. But I mean, you know, sometimes, like for example, Trainer has shown at times that, you know, he's going to be able to give you some minutes, and you know, he had one rebound in 20 minutes of action the other night. So look, there's a lot of factors as to why this team is probably going to have one of the worst records that we've ever had at Louisville. But I think to kind of wrap up the conversation about Wright State, what I think ended up being so frustrating is that that's just one of the losses you shouldn't have had. You should have been able to get your first win there, and you know, you found a way to lose. And here's to hoping they can get the monkey off their back and get their first win tomorrow night against App State. App State thus far, let me see what they, I don't know what their record is, but I know they're similar as far as the KenPom to Wright State, who just beat you. So yeah, look, the KenPom prediction score here is Louisville 73, App State 63. And so far, App State has wins over North Carolina Central and then a school called Warren Wilson, who is not Division I. So it's not as if they've been super tested, but their one win in Division I action did come in overtime against North Carolina Central. So hey, we'll see. But I really just hope they don't end up going to Maui with a 0-3 record, because at that point I think it becomes kind of mental with these guys that like, uh-oh, are we ever going to win a game? And that can weigh on you, man. It can. I really hoped this was what my hope was to start the season. And I don't think it was unfair to have this expectation, but you come out, you beat Bellarmine, you beat Wright State, and then you beat Appalachian State and you're 3-0, and we all know that that wouldn't be super impressive to knock off those kind of teams, but you could get some confidence going internally and say, okay, you know what? We're getting ready to go to Maui and play some of the best teams in the country. We may not have much success here or get many wins, but you know what? We're going to be a work in progress. We'll come back home and start to beat the teams we're supposed to beat again. And they've now gone 0-2 in those games. And look, I know Bellarmine is a good program, and Scott Davenport's a hell of a coach, had a great game plan. They executed, they played hard. And Wright State's a pretty good program for who they are at their level. But I'm not being unfair and picking on Kenny Payne and asking too much to say, look, you clearly have the edge at every spot against these teams, and you should win, and you didn't. And it's unfortunate. But again, here's to hoping they can find a way to get their first win tomorrow. Let's believe in it, right? Let's believe in the power of positivity. Maybe if we just speak it into existence, it'll happen.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons.
You know, a lot of you fat, pot-bellied guys sitting in your chair right now that don't like me because I represent what a real man is. I'm a winner, not a loser.
Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
The alarm clock tingling, ringing in my head. I woke up dog tired, beat down half dead.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thorntons.
Coffee while I should have been sleeping. It sure is Monday, hitting it now. I gotta get myself through the week somehow. I had a ball Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But it's all over now, and it sure is Monday.
That's right, a Monday edition of the Red Zone rolls along here on 790 KRD. Thanks for hanging out with us. Don't forget, you can take us with you anywhere you go. Listen live on 790KRD.com. Also listen live on the iHeartRadio app. So let's go to the text line, 502-653-0790. That's the number, the LNN Federal Credit Union text line, if you guys want to jump in. This text says, Louisville lost those games by 2 points combined. How would you feel if they won those games? I'm glad you asked that, because I would probably feel pretty much the same. I mean, obviously winning is the ultimate goal, and if they were able to find a way to beat Bellarmine and beat Wright State, you'd feel better as a fan, but I think the criticism would still be there as far as just how rough of a start it's been. At least that's the way I think. I mean, we'll never know because they didn't win those games, but you're right. They were close games that a play here or there, and they have a different result, but I still think we would at least be acknowledging at times these guys just don't really play that hard. And I don't think that it's asking too much when you have a new head coach to at least get these guys to be energized. And, you know, for Kenny Payne to continuously be talking about how these guys are so high and low emotionally, I mean, it's given us some context as to why this has been such a work in progress. But like, if he's not, who's responsible for fixing that? I know it goes on players as well, but I'll stand by what I've said throughout the morning. There were guys last year that played harder for Mike Pegues. I mean, that's what I'm seeing. This text says, do you think there's any chance these guys got some NIL money and stopped working hard? I mean, I don't know, maybe. I mean, I would hope that's not the case, but NIL is a new thing, so maybe that is a factor. I don't know. I doubt it, but what I just would love to know is what's going on with Sidney Curry. I mean, he is just not the same guy. And if you thought Louisville was going to have any level of success this year, even if expectations were low, but you thought, okay, they may surprise some people with this or that. I mean, I can't imagine you envision that scenario without Sidney Curry being a big part of that. And he just is, at times, he's just, you can't even keep him on the floor. He's been such a liability. He's slow to get to everywhere. He just doesn't look engaged. And that is surprising to me. This text says, Nick, we have 3 unused scholarships. How is that the case? Maybe he wanted to keep some scholarships aside because he thought they may need to burn them because of the NCAA situation. Maybe there's a chance that that was a factor. But, I mean, they went out and tried to get guards, and they didn't have success. And if you want to believe that they didn't really want some of these guys they went after, you can believe that. I don't know if we'll ever know the actual truth, but I can tell you that if that was the decision, that was the wrong decision because you've now got to play L. Ellis about 40 minutes a game. So maybe there were a few guys that they felt like they could have got, but they passed over because they wanted to go after better players. But either way, it didn't work out, and you didn't make any additions to your roster at the guard spot when it comes to scholarship players. And that's one of the problems that you have right here. But again, I can't say I've been like overwhelmed by how much talent is on this team. But again, I don't see a whole lot of talent issues. You've certainly got lack of depth. There's not a whole lot of options when you go to the bench. And as we've seen, when they put in sort of a lineup that features mostly reserves, things fall off in a major way. But just running through those the names I've brought up this morning, like L. Ellis is a pretty talented player. Now, he's going to have to put it all together. And unfortunately for him, he is going to be asked to do a lot for this team. But I don't think talent's a big problem with L. Same thing with Mike James. I can't tell you that he's got All-American or All-ACC caliber talent, but, I mean, he can play a little bit. We know what Jalen Withers can do. Brandon Huntley Hatfield, I think, has shown some flashes. Sidney Curry, we saw last year that he could be a real factor for you. We haven't seen it yet this year. So you didn't lose to Wright State and Bellarmine because they just have better players than you. And that's what I think is pretty frustrating. All right, this question comes in from Greg. He says, Greg says, Nick, what do you think about tomorrow's matchups and the Champions Classic? I would say Kentucky's probably going to be deserving favorites, although Michigan State did give Gonzaga a game. In fact, you could argue that Michigan State probably should have won that game on Friday. But no, Kentucky will be the deserving favorite. And on paper, I think if you're a Kentucky fan, I understand you're probably a little hesitant to have super high expectations because of what happened last year. Maybe you're not, though. Maybe you hope that's a fluke and you do think this team could win the whole thing this year. But look, Kentucky hasn't played a great team just yet. Michigan State will be the best team they've played. But look, on paper, I think this is one of Calipari's best teams. I mean, again, on paper, and they've yet to be really challenged, so we'll see what happens when that's the case. But I think, you know, they lost last year. I mean, really, losing Ty Washington, I mean, he's certainly a talented player, but I think they got better in the offseason. Cason Wallace is, in my opinion, a better player than Ty Washington. Antonio Reeves gives them an added guard that is, I don't know if he's better than the young man they had last year who transferred from Davidson, Kellen Grady, but so far he looks pretty good. He had a really good career at Illinois State. We know Jacob Toppin's a talented player. C.J. Frederick gives them some shooting, who transferred in from Iowa. And then, of course, we haven't even seen them with the reigning National Player of the Year, which happens to be Oscar Tshiebwe. And then Sevier Wheeler comes back the other night, had a great game, 11 points, 11 assists off the bench. So, look, Kentucky is loaded this year. There's no doubt about it. And I think had they not had the last two seasons where they were terrible in one year, and then, of course, last year they just had a good year and got upset, had they had a decent run last year, I think you'd hear Kentucky fans be more confident. And maybe they are. I'm just not hearing from them. But no, I think on paper, hard not to like this roster because they bring back some good pieces from a good team last year. And again, I think they got better with the guys like Cason Wallace and who's the other freshman that's Chris Livingston, another guy who's not done a whole lot so far in these first couple of games, but certainly he has some talent. So look, I think they'll win tomorrow. Michigan State looked better than I anticipated against Gonzaga, but this was probably the first time Tom Izzo's team was not preseason ranked in a long time. At least I would say in his, 30 years there, I would say more often than not they've been a preseason ranked team. This year they weren't. Now the other matchup, Kansas and Duke, I mean, I haven't seen enough of either of those teams. Obviously Duke's got a lot of talent, and we'll see. John Shire, this will be his first real, his first real test against a legitimate team. So yeah, Kansas has played Omaha and North Dakota State thus far, and Duke has played, who has Duke played? They're 2-0 as well with wins against Jacksonville and SC Upstate. So I don't really know. I mean, I would say Duke has the edge in talent, but you know, Kansas is the defending national champions and they usually have some talent on their end as well. So I'm looking forward to it. I wish that Champions Classic event actually got the season started, because I do think it's nice to have a big event that, you know, people will watch. We know that it's so early and a lot of these teams will look much different down the line, but I wish that event officially tipped off the season, because one, you'll actually have a lot of eyeballs on you, because and it'll be the same thing tomorrow night when they play, because they're going to do, I'm pretty sure, like they've done in previous years, in between games, or maybe it's at halftime of the first game, they're going to give you the college football playoff rankings, which of course, even if you're not a college basketball fan, you're going to be tuning in to see what kind of shakeup you have there in those rankings. Which, speaking of that, not a whole lot this weekend as far as results that would probably give you a much different look at the college football playoff rankings. I mean, you have four undefeated teams. Those are the four teams that were in the top four last week, and they all won this week. Georgia was dominant against Mississippi State. Ohio State had no trouble with Indiana. Michigan, they knocked off Nebraska 34-3. And then TCU got their best win. They knocked off Texas. That's a top 20 win for them. They won the game 17-10. So I don't anticipate you're going to see any shakeup. Tennessee's at number 5, and they were dominant against Missouri. So we'll see. Oregon, let's see. Oregon did lose to Washington, so therefore they'll probably fall out. They now have 2 losses on the year. But other than that, I think the top's going to stay about the same. And at this point, with just a couple of games left for everybody, and of course you also have the conference championship games as well, I mean, you're going to see, I mean, you know who's in play for the playoff, right? I mean, it's I think, a 5-team race. And I'm curious to see, TCU's not going to fall after getting a top 20 win against Texas, but man, if Texas is TCU's best win and they win the Big 12, are they going to get the benefit of the doubt? And I feel bad for saying that they don't deserve it because all they've done is beat everybody that's on their schedule. But if Texas ends up being their best win, which right now it's looking like it is that worthy of being in over a 1-loss Tennessee team whose only loss on the season is likely going to end up being against Georgia, who's dominant? If history repeats itself and the committee is consistent, they will go with the bigger brand. And TCU is not the bigger brand than Tennessee or other teams, of course, that are fighting for a playoff spot. And I hate to be a hater of TCU because I like new flavor. I like when new teams make the playoff because it at least makes you think there's more parity, even though there's not. We all know it's going to come down to probably Georgia. I mean, hell, Georgia right now looks like they're going to win this thing, and I don't know if they're going to have much competition. But from just a fan standpoint, knowing I have no real dog in the fight, the team I root for is not going to be in the playoff, I think I'd rather see a playoff that features Georgia, Tennessee, and Ohio State and Michigan, which, again, that's 2 SEC teams and 2 Big Ten teams. And here we are thinking we don't want those 2 conferences to align and create separation between everybody else, but I think those are the 4 best teams, in my opinion. All right, let's get to a quick timeout. We'll come back and wrap things up here on the other side. Stick with us. You are in the Red Zone, and we are fueled by Thornton's right here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thornton's.
Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790. You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thornton's.
That's right. We're putting the finishing touches here on a Monday edition of the Red Zone. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Don't forget, as soon as the show ends, we get the podcast up pretty quickly. I know some of you can't dedicate 3 full hours to us, and I guess I understand you have priorities. But if you missed anything, again, don't forget, you can get the podcast at 790KRD.com or on the iHeartRadio app. Also want to remind you, tomorrow we'll have another Louisville basketball postgame show as they take on App State. A random start time here. This one starts at 6 o'clock, which has me a little worried about what kind of crowd we're going to get. But let's just hope they can get a win before they take off for Maui, because wins there are going to be a lot harder to come by. I mean, even if Louisville was in a much different situation where they had a team that had expectations and they had knocked off Wright State and Bellarmine, we'd still be saying it's going to be tough to win in Maui, because again, that event happens to feature, I mean, this is as loaded as the Maui Invitational has been in quite some time. I think in recent years, the Battle for Atlantis has kind of turned into the better event. And maybe it is this year. I don't have the bracket, but just looking at who's there, Texas Tech and Creighton, those are 2 top 25 teams. Hell, Creighton was believed to be one of the more sleeper team, the best, biggest sleepers in the country this year to maybe make the Final Four. Arkansas, they're coming off of an Elite Eight run, and they brought in the number 2 recruiting class in America. Ohio State, we know they've got a good program under Chris Holtman. San Diego State, they're usually the favorites in the Mountain West. Cincinnati's made big strides in year 2 under Coach Wes Miller. And then, of course, Arizona was a number 1 seed last year. So, look, that's why it's so frustrating to see you lose both those games to start the season by a combined 2 points, because you know, one play here or there, and you would have won. And yes, we still would probably have some things we need to worry about and still not have really high expectations in year 1, but the thought of this team like starting 0-10 is on the table. And that's just, as much as we knew this was a work in progress, that is not something that I anticipated at all. But, you know, what are you going to do? They can only go up from here, right? There's no, like, another loss tomorrow. And I hope that's not the case, but like, you can't hurt any more than you're already hurting, right? Like, we're as down as we've been in a long time. And, you know, I'm not blaming Kenny specifically for that. Obviously, he inherited a situation that wasn't great, but I'll admit, I didn't think that it would be this much of a work in progress. I didn't. And also, I don't think we're being unfair to Kenny by, you know, expecting a little more at the start here. But as a lot of you have mentioned on the text line, you know, it's on the players as well. And that's true. But at some point, you know, the coach has got to get some results from these players. And I would hope that they did some soul searching here in the last couple of days, because if they watch film, I'm sure he's going to be able to point out a lot of plays that are just unacceptable. Guys turning it over, not running back on defense, just giving up 42 points in the paint to a team like Wright State is just something that I don't think should ever happen, but it did, unfortunately. All right, we're out of here. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. We're back at it tomorrow morning. Dan Patrick's coming up next. Again, don't forget to check out the podcast if you missed anything. This has been another edition of The Red Zone, fueled by Thornton's right here on 790 KRD.
Discover a career that matters at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Be part of an innovative team delivering world-class healthcare and benefits to America's veterans. Enjoy robust benefits, work-life balance, and career development opportunities. Join a diverse and inclusive community that values your unique background and skills, a community where nearly 1 in 3 of your colleagues are veterans themselves. Apply now at vacareers.va.gov.